It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome in, everybody. Another edition of the Boston Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. Patrick Gilroy alongside Nick Gelso, Nick Sesento behind the glass, taking your phone calls this evening on our movement watches. Toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. An exciting Friday night in Boston. I expect you guys to fill up those movement watches, toll-free phone lines this evening following the Boston Celtics 117-114 home victory over the Miami Heat. But Nick Gelso, the home victory is just a small part of the story of what took place at TD Garden this evening.
He's a bad dude. Holy cow. Man, I've not seen anything like that in a long time, not in green and white at least.
You know, what's funny is after the game, Mike and Tommy were talking, and a staggering sort of statistic came out. I don't know if you caught it or not, but this was the first time since Larry Bird in 1985 that somebody scored. But what got me thinking after they said that was, wait a minute, we just went through sort of a golden age of Celtics basketball. Paul Pierce never did this. Ray Allen with all his shooting theatrics never did this. Kevin Garnett never did this. You never saw Eddie House, you know, light it up one night and do this. This is the first time in 30 years, Nick, and that's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that it hits home when you hear that, because you would think Paul Pierce, at least. I could have sworn Paul Pierce, but either way, it's been a real long time since I got the chills watching the Celtics play. Probably since Paul Pierce was on the court. And tonight, I must say, I got the chills for Isaiah Thomas. And he's as humble as ever. I think it was great, too. Mike Gorman, I don't know if you caught it. He said, you know, everyone up in New England loves to talk about Tom Brady, and they should, and blah, blah, blah. But I hope people start talking about just how special this kid is and the things he's doing, because he's making history.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's putting his name in the history books, and it's not like he's putting him in the history books for the Grizzlies or for the Raptors or some, or even the Heat, have only been around for 30 years. He's putting his name in the history books for a team that's been around for 70 plus years, a team with more championships than any other team in professional sports other than the New York Yankees. Look, the guy has been outstanding this year, and I'm glad that the scheduling worked out the way that it did. I swapped nights. People were expecting Josue Pavone to hear tonight, but he took over for me 2 weeks ago. And I'm glad he did, because I worked with Ty Ray last night. It was the first time.
Oh, you guys were great. I listened today. It was a great show.
I appreciate that, Nick, but it was the first time since I think I did my first show with you guys maybe in February or March of last year. So we're pushing a year. It was the first time I had the opportunity to work with Ty, but he said something. And what I really liked about Ty was he brings this unique perspective. He happens to come from and live where Isaiah Thomas comes from, where Avery Bradley comes from.
And Avery Bradley, right.
Exactly. Imagine that talent there. So anyway, see, that's where he is. And he said something to me. He said, look, Patrick, I know the Celtics will have a decision to make in the not-too-distant future when it comes to Isaiah Thomas, but I believe that IT is still getting better. And my sort of reply to that, my retort to that was, sure, but when he's up for a contract, he's going to be 29, and this is a guy, Ty, that covered the Denver Nuggets in the early 2000s. He was there. Right. He saw what happened to Allen Iverson at 31 years old. The guy fell off the planet. So yes, Danny Ainge is going to have to make a decision about this guy's future. But for tonight, for this season, what we're seeing right now, I think Ty was right. This guy is continuing to get better. And to have a guy now in his seventh year in the league to continue to improve, that's pretty rare around this league. Usually somebody would, especially somebody like Isaiah Thomas, would have hit their peak and just be the guy that they are by now. But this guy's added so much to his game, and he literally is becoming a franchise cornerstone player right in front of our eyes.
Dude, he's becoming a top five player in the NBA. I mean, he must be at this point.
Well, I happen to.
Numbers dictate it, right?
I'm a big fan of the network. All right, you know that. So Larry H. Russell had who was the guest a couple of weeks ago? On the show, Larry said he disagreed. And the host, the guest didn't think that Isaiah Thomas was a top 15 player. And Larry came on and said, no, he is. Then the next day, Larry did what Larry does, and he did his homework. And he said, you know what, maybe not top 15, top 30. But right. It's amazing what we're seeing here with Isaiah Thomas because – quite frankly, he's about to be a two-time All-Star. Now he's starting to do things that we've never seen him do before. The knock on Isaiah Thomas up until this year was, well, the Celtics still don't have a closer. They don't have a fourth-quarter go-to guy. They don't have somebody they can rely on to carry the load. Well, Nick, you tell me. I mean, we're pushing halfway through the season. This looks to be a guy that can close games and B, carry the offensive load.
Like I said, I think he's playing like a top NBA player right now. He's in his zone. I think you're right. You are right. He's closing games. He's scoring every night. He's making crucial plays in crucial moments. I think the only concern and the only fear is basketball changes in the postseason. And not only from the standpoint of, it slows down, you grind it out, but you get multiple consecutive looks at your opposition. So the scouting report is immediate. You're making adjustments immediately. And Isaiah Thomas has to be able to adjust with the adjustments, or the Celtics are in big trouble because he is really their only closer.
It's the Celtics postgame show right here. CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. Patrick Gilroy alongside Nick Gelso and Nick Sesento taking your phone calls behind the glass this evening on our movement watches. Toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771. Of course, our opening segment is brought to you by our friends at ZipRecruiter. It is the new year. It's going to be the new year in like 48 hours, so just roll with me. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find all the top quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And who really has the time to do that? But now you can. ZipRecruiter makes it easy. All you need to do is jumpstart your hiring in 2017 with ZipRecruiter. You post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. You find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. You just quickly screen candidates, you rate them, and hire the right person, and you do it fast. You find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by heading on over to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time for everybody out there, head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan so you can post your job opening for free. Celtics win tonight at the TD Garden. That makes two in a row at the Garden, which normally wouldn't be a big deal, but because things have been so up and down at the Garden this year, it is a big deal. When you take a look at the upcoming schedule here, it's a good week to go into rolling at the Garden, winning two in a row. This is the first of four games at the Garden, Nick, this week. The next game is on Tuesday. The Celtics have a few days off, which is good news. Avery Bradley missed the game tonight with what the Celtics are calling an upper respiratory problem. He is expected to play on Tuesday. When I heard he wasn't playing tonight, my first concern was that left wrist that he seemed to tweak when LeBron James blocked his shot at the rim last night. He didn't look right in the second half. He was constantly fidgeting with that left hand. I wonder if there's a little bit of an upper respiratory thing and a little bit of, hey, let's get this guy some rest, because we know Avery Bradley has had wrist problems in the past, shoulder problems in the past. You need AB for this team to do what we expect this team to do. But you have the Jazz on Tuesday. A Jazz, a good, young, up-and-coming team, but certainly a winnable game at home. That's followed up by a game against the Sixers and the Pelicans. The Celtics have an opportunity here, Nick, to sort of make some hay at the Garden and potentially win themselves five straight games at home. I may be jumping ahead, getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but the Celtics, for them to be a good team to a great team, have to be better than 500 at home. This is a real opportunity here to start to get some separation and get some wins at the Garden.
on a good team has to experience a good winning streak too. And this team really hasn't done it. They've had some good stints, but to see them pull together five consecutive games would be great. Terrific. Not to mention also home cooking helps, man, right? These guys are back in their own beds. They're with their families, back in their own practice facility. So I think NBA fans, I guess, in general, are forgetting that the Celtics played the most brutal first half of the season schedule with majority of the games on the road. So now for the remainder of the season, you'll see some nice longer stints at the Garden, which certainly helps. There's no question.
Yeah, and you know, when you dig deeper into why the Celtics struggled the first 2 months of the season at home, Nick, I think a lot of that sort of coincides and jives with the fact that the Celtics had major injuries to big-time contributing players, be it Isaiah Thomas, be it Al Horford, be it Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk to start the season, and now Avery Bradley with the upper respiratory problem. But the Celtics were home heavy the first 3-4 weeks of the season, and that's when they suffered all of those major injuries. They go on the road in December. Luckily, they were able to get healthier as the month went along in December to rack up some very important road victories. But because the Celtics were so home heavy in that time, sort of coincided with the stretch where they were at their unhealthiest, so to speak, I think that 6-6 record that they had just a couple of days ago at home, and now I believe it's 8-6 at home, I think it's a little bit misleading, a little bit deceiving. Clearly, they're not that bad of a team at the Garden. They just weren't a whole team for most of the games they played at the Garden, at least early on this season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And not to mention, too, when I'm talking about the schedule, it's the flukiness, too. Like, one night they'd be in Houston, then they'd fly back home for the second night, and I'm making some of this up, but they fly back home on the second night of a back-to-back, then fly down to New Orleans. Like, it just, none of it made any sense. It was really a grueling schedule. So even when they had home games, it was like squashed in between, you know, weird geography road games. So, yeah, it's good to have them back at home, and it's good to have them healthy. And luckily, I feel bad for Avery. He's going to celebrate the new year with the flu. But I'd rather it be the flu than, you know, God forbid, the wrist or the shoulder. So he'll be back soon, too.
Celtics postgame show right here, CLNS Radio. CLNSradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy. It is Nick Gelso. Nick Sesento taking your phone calls on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Celtics win at the Garden this evening. Your final score, 117-114. Nick, I know that the big headline, the big story, of course, is Isaiah Thomas, 52 points, breaks all sorts of records, just the fourth guy in Celtics history to do what he did, first guy since Larry Bird in 1985 to do what he did. I believe now he holds the single quarter record for scoring with 27 in the fourth.
That shocked
passing,
me too.
He passed Larry Bird, and it's a great trivia question. The other guy tied with Larry Bird with 24 points was Todd freaking Day, which is just an amazing.
Yeah, I know, I heard that
question.
Tonight.
You know, anytime Todd Day is brought up in like the days of Celtic lore, it's amazing to me. It happens once in a while because you could fill it up, but again, you know, it was good to see Isaiah surpass Todd Day into his way into the record books. But look, there are still some issues here. I was glad to see tonight Al Horford had a nice comeback game. He was abysmal last night. And the Celtics went out there, let's face it, they got Al Horford to help get them at least closer, if not surpass Cleveland, at least get them closer to Cleveland. But he goes into Cleveland last night, and he was beyond abysmal. He just wasn't there. He didn't show up. He no-showed for the game. 6 points, 4 rebounds, and he allowed Kevin Love to torch him all night long. I was curious to see how this guy was going to bounce back, what he had sort of burning within to come back on short rest after playing extended minutes, and see what he could do tonight against, again, a front court that does feature Hassan Whiteside. So he comes out tonight, gives you 21 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Now, those numbers are good, and that's what I expect of Al Horford. I don't ever expect Al Horford to sort of go off the way that Isaiah Thomas did tonight. He's not a potential 40, 50-point guy. But he's got to give you 15 to 20 points a night. He's got to give you 5 to 10 rebounds a night. And if he's not, there's something wrong. So when you look at Al Horford thus far through the first 45% of the season, Nick, Are you satisfied with the output that you've gotten from Al Horford? And forgetting about the money, because max money is max money, and they're all going to get it, whether it's Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, they're all going to get paid. So he's making the money. But are you satisfied with a guy that gives the Celtics 21-6 tonight, but just 6-4 last night? And last night, by the way, wasn't the first time that he no-showed during a big game this season.
Right, yeah. I mean, the way you worded it, it makes it tougher to answer. But I'd say, am I satisfied? No, you always want the most. You're expecting more from Al Horford. You're expecting, 16 to 18 points, 6 to 8 rebounds, let's say. We'd be thrilled with that. But then you got to look at, too, of those 40-some-odd games, he was on the concussion protocol for an extended period of time. In and out, he's out of the lineup for a long time. Tonight, what you saw was a deliberate intent to get Horford involved. There was a lot of pick and roll action at the top of the key, where Horford, who just sets a great pick, was rolling off those picks and getting open jumpers. That was definitely deliberately to get Al involved, because we've seen it where Horford and Thomas are just so good in that two-man game. Pick and rolls, those pick and roll actions. And they were doing that tonight for Al, and he was rolling off and hitting threes.
He was. And look, I'm not the biggest fan of Horford taking as many threes as he does sometimes, but I'm also not ignorant to the fact that this is the NBA. And he's going to wind up taking almost twice as many threes this season as he's done during his previous season high for three-point attempts. The numbers are staggering, but it's not just Al Horford. It's everybody. It's the entire league.
It's the Brad Stevens philosophy, Pat. It's also the Stevens philosophy.
It is, and if you notice, there was a lot of criticism last night for the Jay Crowder sort of rush three at the end of the game in Cleveland that potentially could have won the game. But if you notice, the one guy that wasn't criticizing the shot, you're right, was Brad. If you zone in on Brad and watch the replay and watch it carefully, he's clapping away. He's reinforcing to Jay Crowder, no, you took a good shot. You missed it, but you took a good shot. So, again, you are 1,000% right. While us fans and analysts may sit here and be overly critical of some of these shot attempts, this is what their coach is calling for.
Yeah, I mean, the one that really tortured, we won't get off on it, and he's been playing very well, but Marcus Smart's shot selection drives me insane. But there aren't many coaches that would encourage Amir Johnson to shoot threes. you know what I'm saying? And I mean, we saw the game where I wish he never hit one. I heard you guys talking about that last night, but we saw the game where he hit four crucial threes, and Stevens wanted him to just keep shooting them. So yeah, he likes that spread the floor type offense. I don't know. I was watching KG and Kevin McHale.
Oh my god, wasn't it great?
My favorite
Celtics
part
porn right there.
Yeah, total. Like dork porn for Celtics fans, or Celtics dorks, right? So I'm watching it, though, and of course it's the silliest scene. They're wearing the monk outfits. I don't even know what they had on, but it was great to see McHale break down some of those low post moves that he had, just showing how much the game has changed. And McHale made an argument, I think Bob Ryan did on our newsfeed channel with Larry, that I think it was Ryan, but that in the next 5 to 7 years, the game's going to somewhat reverse and turn back into a big man game. And then it's almost cyclical, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it is. And if you sort of take a step back and look at the extremes that the NBA has gone to, let's go back to the late 80s, early 90s, when everybody tried to copy what Pat Riley was doing in New York with Charles Oakley and Anthony Mason in the paint and Patrick Ewing, and really a grinded out, physical, keep the score in the 80s type of game. And you're right, it is cyclical. You go from that, and many, many, many teams tried to duplicate that with little to no success, to the other extreme, the other end of the pendulum. Now everybody's trying to duplicate what's happening in Golden State. It is absolutely going to swing back at some point, but there's going to need to be that next evolutionary type of talent for that to happen. There's got to be a guy that's somewhere right now in 8th, 9th, 10th grade that's developing an otherworldly low post game that becomes the number one pick and changes a franchise's fortunes. And then everybody will eventually duplicate that once again, because the NBA, for all the innovation that the NBA has been sort of credited with over the year. They are a copycat league. And when one team finds success in a certain way, if it's the right type of success, every other team will eventually follow. It is the Celtics postgame show. Celtics win tonight. Final score 117-114. When we come back, it's your phone calls on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines. Load them up, people. It's a Friday night in Boston. Are you excited about this, or did last night's sort of heartbreaking loss take the fun out of what happened tonight at the Garden? The number to reach us here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It is CLNS Radio and clnsradio.com.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Garden Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. The Boston Celtics postgame radio show. Celtics win this evening at the Garden. Final score 117-114 for the Miami Heat. Our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines are open. I expected a lot more this evening out of the Celtics fans that are out there because, let's face it, this season has been one of – it's been up and down, dare I call it, a bit of a roller coaster ride. But despite the ups and downs and the emotional peaks and valleys this season, the Celtics are still right there, 6 games over .500. Now standing alone in third place in the Eastern Conference, still very much within shouting distance of Toronto for the top spot in the Atlantic, and a team that's getting healthier. And I think that last night was a bit of a measuring stick game. The Celtics came up short. However, there was still plenty of good things to take away from last night's game in Cleveland. What impresses me the most is the fact that this younger Celtics team didn't hang their heads. Although it looked like they were sort of running in mud for a good portion of tonight's game, they were still able to find a way, come home, second with travel, come home and find a way to get a win, in large part due to Isaiah Thomas not allowing the Celtics to lose. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Nick Gelso. You'll hear from Nick Sesento coming up shortly on the program. But Nick, when you look at the last sort of 24, 48 hours for the Celtics, I think that a lot of other teams would have taken last night's loss a lot harder than this team did. I think it's a sign of maturity for a team to have a heartbreaking loss like the way the Celtics did last night, coming all the way back against the world champions. They didn't come out hanging their heads tonight. Now, they didn't come out flying high, but they came out and they played well enough to win, where I think a lot of teams would have – there's a bit of a built-in excuse between back-to-back games, travel, a heartbreaking loss, the fact that they don't play again until Tuesday, you're facing a long holiday weekend. And I said to Ty Ray last night that I believe that this was as close to a must-win as you could have at the end of December, because it was a winnable game at home. It didn't matter what happened last night. The Celtics had to find a way to reverse the course and get a win at home, if only because the wins at home have been so fleeting this season. Mm-hmm. But to me, it showed signs of maturity for this team not to hang their heads with all the built-in excuses and to find a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, I don't think Isaiah Thomas was going to let it happen anyway, right? I mean, there was no – he was coming out and he was ready to get Al Horford involved, you know, rectify a lot of the mistakes that happened last night. So, and they came out, they responded. But what you don't realize is Isaiah's, you know, popping 50 points. The Celtics were only up, I think, 6 points. It was a two-possession game. So, but I got to say, I it's one night where as media, you know, you don't want to be media. You want to be in the stands, because the hush, like, I mean, the crowd was just electric, right? It was a great night. I hate to keep gushing on Isaiah, but.
Yeah, and you know, the sin of it is I only got to watch the last 4 minutes. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell did an outstanding job, but I don't know what my neighbors thought of me. They must think I have marital problems. I was sitting in my car with my dinner, charging my phone, and listening to the game for a couple hours because we lost electricity. So I needed my phone to work in case I couldn't, you know, do the show through the internet, and I needed to know what was happening in the game. But because my phone was dying, I couldn't watch the game on the app, because that would sort of defeat the purpose. So thank you to Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell for doing an outstanding job this evening, sort of painting the picture for me. I can't wait. Actually, the game is going to be on CSN. They're going to repeat it in a couple hours. I'm going to DVR that to watch it tomorrow, because, again, it might be another 30 years, Nick, before we see another offensive output like we saw from Isaiah tonight. Well, I want to see it.
And what's awesome is to hear legendary guys who've seen it all, like Gorman and Grandy. Not Grandy. I'm sure Grandy was too, though. But Gorman and Heinsohn kind of be like, wow, this is very special. You know, it hits home. Those guys have seen everything. You know, there's nothing they haven't seen. So,
yeah, you're right. Tommy Hunt, actually, when I turned the game on, when the electricity came back on, he said something, and I always like to write down when I'm doing my show prep at least one or two Tommy quotes, because they're few and far between, but when sometimes he's got some good ones. And last night I referenced the Greg Steenstra's first block as a Boston Celtic. He compared him to Bill Russell. I mean, like, he says some things, but tonight, and I wrote this down, he said, Isaiah Thomas is one of four players that he's been in and around throughout the course of his NBA career, which spans a lifetime, that he's marveled at. And the other guys were Russell, Cousy, and Bird. And you know, I don't know if this guy is exaggerating, because you know, sometimes Tommy Heinsohn has been known to exaggerate a little bit. But when
I don't
think
he
about,
worked tonight.
When you think about what Isaiah's done, right? And I don't think we're understanding I want to see what his point per game average jumps to tomorrow, because today it was 26.
Right.
It's going to be closer to 27, 28, 29
yeah,
tomorrow,
is.
Right? So it's pretty outstanding.
Yep.
This guy's going to wind up potentially being a top five scorer, maybe top three scorer in the NBA this season off the back of his 52-point performance tonight. And I still think, and Nick Sesento will know this for sure because I've heard him reference this, I still think he's only had one game this season that he played in where he scored less than 20, and that was an 18-point game about a month ago. So the Movement Watches toll-free phone lines are open for you. The number to join us here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. You've heard us talk about them for a while now. Movement Watches are the real deal. You all know that department store watches start at $400, $500, $600, but our good friends over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and they're passing the savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, they are affordable. They start at just $95. So what you need to do is head on over to movementwatches.com. That's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. That gets you 15% off your first order with free shipping. Once again, that's movementwatches, MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Gets you 15% off and free shipping on that first order. Again, the telephone number, 347-215-7771. Let's go right to our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines and talk to our good friend Alan from Titletown Apparel. You're first up on the Celtics post-game show this evening, Alan. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Hello?
Hey, Alan, we are living the dream. Let me tell you, it's a good night to be a Celtics fan. I'm sure you must have some sort of a new T-shirt coming out that speaks to this game, don't you?
We do.
The 52 points. You have to reference it somehow.
So we do. We actually have a shirt we actually had designed a while ago, but our first manufacturers wouldn't produce it because they said it was kind of too close to a Nike shirt. But we got a guy who's putting it out for us, and it is our Isaiah, and it says just do IT4 to play on the Nike just do it. So we got a just do IT4 shirt, long sleeve, white with green sleeves. Phenomenal. We have it for sale on our website right now, TitletownApparel.com, along with our Isaiah All-Star shirt. Because if you didn't think he was an All-Star again this year, I think he punched his ticket tonight and he will be in the All-Star game 100% locked this year.
I'm glad you brought that up, Alan, because the rules, and for fans that don't follow it as closely as we do, the rules have changed a little bit, and now 25% of the say when it comes to who's starting comes from voting from players. And Isaiah was funny the other day. He said, of course he's going to vote for himself. Any chance that you think this guy could potentially start in the backcourt for the All-Star team in the Eastern Conference this year?
I don't think so. I think Kyrie is going to get the nod for point guard just because the Cavs are the one seed. They won the finals last year, and he brings that shake and bake fun streak out to the game, which everyone loves, including myself. So I think Kyrie is the lock at the point guard position, unfortunately. And at the two guard position, there's just so many other guards who I think will get the nod. Like Jimmy Butler will probably get it, even though Isaiah is putting up more points. I think he's putting up more gaudy numbers, but he'll definitely make the team, but he won't be starting, which I'm fine with. I think the fan vote and all the votes is kind of nonsense. Like I was totally against the whole Yao Ming and all those guys from China getting the billions of votes and stuff like that. But one thing I wanted to talk about tonight's game, was how about when they showed during the game of the highest points scored by Celtics players ever. And I think the highest was like Bird had 60, a couple of the guys had 57, and then Isaiah had 52. And Paul Pierce, he only clipped 50 points once, and it was just 50. That actually kind of surprised me. I thought Pierce would have more 50-point games throughout his career, being such a great scorer he was. Was anyone else shocked by that?
Yeah, Nick and I actually sort of briefly touched on that to open the show. Because when you talk about the guys that Isaiah Thomas is now sharing company with, and the biggest scoring output since Larry Bird in 1985, I was shocked. You know, Paul Pierce wasn't in that conversation. Kevin Garnett, not Ray Allen. You know, maybe a guy like Eddie House could have got hot and had a huge 50-point game. But none of those guys from that new Big Three era ever did what this guy did tonight. And the fact that Paul Pierce only did it once, and he played for all those bad Celtics teams in those bad down years, really.
And that's probably
me.
When he had the 50 was when those with the down years when he had Antoine. I mean, obviously, when they got the Big Three, there was more mouths to feed. They played more of a balanced team ball game. But
and, you know, Paul Pierce may have gone for 70. He may have gone for 70 one time, but Ricky Buckets had to get a few of those shots, right?
Absolutely, even if it's in the wrong bucket.
else you got, Alan?
It's probably not saying a whole lot. I mean, but is Isaiah the greatest player ever under 6 feet tall?
How tall was Tiny Archibald? Pete Maravich, how tall was he? I got to go back in the archives, but I think that he's in the modern day NBA. I'm comfortable saying that, but I would have to go back and do a little bit more homework. But what I like about what we're seeing from Isaiah, Alan, is that this isn't just a fluke month or a fluke year. He's gotten progressively better throughout the two years that he's been here. You know what I mean? He's gotten better. He's added more to what he was. And it was referenced again this evening during the radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was brought up on the television broadcast, but when the Celtics traded for this guy, he was thought of being a bench player, an instant offense, Vinnie Johnson, microwave, Eddie House-ish type of player that will come in here, get hot, you know, fill it up. The description that was given was no different than freaking Marcus Thornton when he got here. Somebody that'll get hot. And you look how far he's come in just 2 years. It's pretty staggering. And I said it to Ty Ray on the post game last night. This may go down in history as the single most lopsided trade numbers wise in the history of the NBA. The Celtics traded a trade exception, nothing, for a guy that's giving you 26 points.
And how about this? At the beginning of the year, watching preseason, Isaiah was coming out distributing at first, and people were like, wow, Isaiah's kind of not really looking for a shot. He's getting others involved. He's going, he's looking for the assist. How about tonight, though? I think he had zero assists tonight. Just to show you that when the team needs him to score, get out of the way and deal with it. I'm scoring 52 points. Like, he can just do whatever he wants, it seems like, at 5'9". But
You know what?
I'm going to let you guys.
I tell you what, Alan, you're right. He had no assists, and we appreciate the phone call, and we'll send everybody over to the website because that new shirt sounds absolutely badass. Just do it. IT4 sounds absolutely badass. So you said it was on sale. Is there any sort of promo code people have to use, or do they just log on and buy it?
Nope. You can log on right now onto TitleTimeApparel.com. And we also have a code right now, which is not applicable towards this shirt. It's too new. We're holding off. But if you enter in promo code HOHO, HOHO, on anything else on the website, and you're going to get half off. So go ahead, take advantage, half off. You can get the other Isaiah All-Star shirt. You can get some JC99 slides. You can get the Jaylen Brown shirt, the City Unlocked shirt, the Views from the 617. Go ahead, load up. HOHO, 50% off. That's $12.50 for a shirt. You can't even go in the Garden and get a beer for that. Go on, get some shirts. Wear it to the Garden, represent in style.
I love it. We appreciate the phone call, Alan. We'll send everybody over to TitleTownApparel.com. Use your keyword HOHO, gets you 50% off. Remember, that's not good for the Isaiah Thomas shirt. IT4, just do it, IT4. I absolutely love that. As a guy that grew up in the 80s when Just Do It got big, every one of my T-shirts, I played grade school basketball, high school basketball, a year of college basketball. Every one of my shirts said, just do it somewhere. And the fact that you've been able to pull that off is just awesome. But Alan said something that I want to touch on with you, Nick Gelso, because he said that Isaiah Thomas didn't have any assists tonight. And he's absolutely right. And he was absolutely right. He said, coming out this in exhibition season, throughout the first month of the season, he was really doing a good job distributing the basketball, making his teammates better, and showing us a different dynamic than one that we really thought that he had. We thought that he was a capable point guard and a great scorer, but he showed that he's got this court vision and he can be a well above average type of point guard. One thing that as Paul Pierce got more mature throughout his career, and people don't want to remember the immature Paul Pierce, the guy that wrapped the thing around his head after the Pacers series, the guy that made plenty of mistakes and was known for being a sort of a hothead on the court, especially when it came to respecting the referees. He matured throughout his career. I think when it comes to Isaiah Thomas and Paul Pierce, they have one thing in common. Paul Pierce used to always say that he liked to give the game what it needs on any particular night. And that meant if Paul Pierce had to go out there and give you 40 points, he would give the game 40 points. If he needed to play in the post and be more of a power forward, that's what he would do. If the game required him to come in and be a point forward and dish out 10 assists, that's what he would do. But as he got older and more mature, he found a way to give each and every game exactly what each and every game needed from Paul Pierce. Tonight, Isaiah Thomas recognized that it looked like his teammates were stuck playing in the mud a bit. It looked that he understood that the offense wasn't coming easily for other guys. There was no Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder with only 9 points, Jonas Jerebko, Kelly Olynyk. These guys weren't able to get it done tonight. So tonight, Nick, Isaiah Thomas gave the Celtics exactly what they needed, and I think he's done that multiple times this season, be it with rebounds, assists, points. And to me, that's a sign of maturity.
Well, if you're referring to this, Nick Sicento, I'm here. I'm on live mic. I think Gelso hit the sack early tonight. So if you're referring to me, sure, I think that's fantastic. I think it's amazing that we have people that were, you know, when Isaiah was injured, that were ready to say, we don't need Isaiah Thomas. We play better without him. Let's just hand the keys over to Marcus Smart. Isaiah Thomas is holding Marcus Smart's development back. We don't need Isaiah Thomas. Listen, if you don't think after this game that Isaiah Thomas is a cornerstone player for either this franchise or any franchise, that he can be a cornerstone player, who else is out there that's putting up 50 points in a game? Who else is out there? And he just had a 40-point game just a couple of nights ago. You know,
a
career-high 44 points. So he's, as Tyre said, and I heard you quote him earlier in the show, we haven't even seen what Isaiah Thomas can do. Does anybody think that this is the last 50-point game that Isaiah Thomas is going to have in his career? Let's just hope that it's not the last 50-point game that he has in Green, and that Danny Ainge doesn't jump the gun and try to get rid of this guy just because he's happening to have a fantastic run right now, and his trade value is probably high right now. I think he's one of those guys. At some point, the team has to have some type of stability, and Isaiah Thomas, I think, is one of those cornerstones that we can be stable behind.
Well, Nick, you know, I tell you what, and for people, and I get this call on the ESPN broadcast quite a bit, for people that think that there's a possibility that Danny Ainge is going to trade this guy, there's one simple reason that'll tell you why he's not. You're getting max player production out of a guy that's making just under $7 million this year. And you know the cap as well as anybody, because of the NBA's cap constraints, if you trade this guy, you're going to get back somewhere between a $6 and $9 million player. There is nobody in the league making $6 to $9 million that will give you even a quarter of the production that you're getting from Isaiah Thomas. So you'll never get back equal value for Isaiah Thomas. Therefore, he's here through at least the end of next year. But that's what I wanted to ask you, Nick, because the sort of debate that I had with Ty, and we didn't have all the time in the world to get into it. I really believe this is more of an off-season topic, but at the end of the 2018 season, when Isaiah Thomas is due for a new contract, he'll be 29 years old. If you look at the career trajectory of the only comparable player in the last 30 years to me is Allen Iverson. He fell off the map at 31 years old. And by the time he turned 32, he went from scoring 32 points a night down to about 14. After that, it was all over for him. And before he knew it, he was out of the league before he was 35 years old. Do you worry at all if you're Danny Ainge that at 29 years old you've got to commit 5 years at $30+ million to this guy, well knowing that he doesn't have the advantages that a big man does? A Tim Duncan could hang around, a Kevin Garnett could hang around and still be very productive. Even Paul Pierce, who had the old game for so long, could play very productive basketball into his mid to late 30s. But the second Isaiah Thomas loses that burst, that initial burst that catches the defender off guard, don't you fear that that could actually happen relatively early on in that next max contract?
Well, I think that if we're going to make the comparison to Allen Iverson. I think the one thing Allen Iverson didn't have towards the end of his career was any type of stability. Allen Iverson had, you know, kind of that stigma that was non-basketball related. The, you know, we're talking about practice. He had the, you know, the urban, you know, the stigma attached to him. I don't think the NBA really cared much for Allen Iverson to begin with. This was the David Stern era. This was the era when they were trying to diversify, or should we say gentrify, the league by bringing in all these European players. We saw Steve Nash get, like, back-to-back MVPs, and Dirk Nowitzki within, you know, a very, you know, similar time frame or close time frame got MVPs. They were really pushing hard to, and I don't want to, you know, make it sound like that, but D. Allen Iversonify the league. They didn't want the baggy shorts. They were making, you know, a dress code at the press conferences. And Allen Iverson was getting bounced around. He was kind of like a combination of, you know, that kind of like the street guy that people, you know, were kind of scared of at that time. You know, he was a legend for people, you know, my generation that, you know, that came from the streets, but wasn't so much for the front office guys that didn't really like that kind of mentality. And he was also kind of had that Rajon Rondo-esque kind of, you know, hard-headedness that also didn't really stick with a lot of those people. So he was kind of bouncing around. If you look at, I mean, I don't have his career, you know, basketball reference page open right now, but he wasn't with one team for that whole time. He went to Denver, and then he was back to Philly, and then he was, you know, with the Pistons, and he was bouncing all over the place. He was out of the league, I think, for a minute. You know, he didn't have that kind of stability, and sure, I worry that, you know, someone like someone like Isaiah Thomas, when he loses that burst, when he loses some of that athleticism as he gets older, that yes, that's going to be an issue. However, I mean, if you look at who Danny Ainge just gave a max contract to, it's Al Horford. And big men, not all big men are Tim Duncan. You know what I mean? Tim Duncan had that fantastic jump shot. Tim Duncan was the big fundamental. Tim Duncan's game was never based on athleticism to begin with. We just gave a max contract to Al Horford, and Al Horford is already declining. And we have him for another 4 years, I think, after this. So, I mean, it's really up in the air. I would do it because I like Isaiah Thomas that much, and I think Isaiah Thomas can probably adapt his game to where when his game starts to decline, he can be a three-point shooter, and he's not the most fantastic three-point shooter now because most of his three-pointers come off those pull-ups off the break as opposed to being a set shooter. We've never seen Isaiah Thomas being kind of like that set player, but I think that he can adapt. I think he can do that. And, I mean, if we don't extend Isaiah Thomas, if we don't make a contract for Isaiah Thomas, it's really basically starting all over from scratch because we don't have the players, I don't think, at this moment in time to really carry us over. If Isaiah Thomas goes...
Nick, you're right. If they make the decision not to re-sign Isaiah Thomas, you're essentially starting over. You're 1,000% right. And I've said this, and you've produced the shows that I've said this season. Celtics fans don't want to hear it. Celtics fans don't want to believe it because it's been fun since Brad Stevens got here. And it's been fun not to suck for an extended period of time. We all got so used to being a terrible basketball team for that horrific 20-year stretch in between Rick Pitino and what happened when Danny Ainge brought in Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett to play alongside Paul Pierce. That was a 20-plus year stretch of being irrelevant, with the exception of a 2-year blip under Jim O'Brien. Celtics fans don't want to return to that, and I don't blame them. So guess what? The Celtics go from being a playoff team the final year of the Big Three to missing the playoffs for 1 year and getting right back there. But I tell you what, Danny Ainge has said it before, and he proved it early on in his first go-around here in 2003 when he tore apart that team, his first team that he had when he got here. And he said, we're not about conference championships. We're not about making the playoffs. We're about winning championships. And he traded Antoine Walker for Rafe LaFrance, and then the contract games began. And whether it was a guy like Ricky Davis coming in here for a short while, even Dana Barros coming off the bench as an assistant coach and playing a few games, I mean, it was a joke around here for a while until the Celtics were able to cash in all their chips, drafting a guy like Ryan Gomes in the second round paid dividends for them. A guy like Gerald Green paid dividends for them. But it took a long time. Celtics fans don't want to go back down that road. But I'm just telling you, Nick, that if Danny Ainge doesn't believe that a combination of Al Horford, who we know is here for the long term, Isaiah Thomas, and then whoever that next guy is, whether it's Gordon Hayward, DeMarcus Cousins, whoever the guy is, and whether that guy comes in through free agency or through a trade is really irrelevant. If Danny Ainge doesn't believe that that three-headed monster is good enough to win a championship, he would ship Isaiah Thomas out of town so fast and he wouldn't care. He shipped Paul Pierce out of town, and he was relatively unemotional about it. That tells you all you need to know about the potential for an Isaiah Thomas trade sometime in the next 16 months.
Very true. Danny Ainge has always said that, you know, they hung on to that previous big three a little bit too long, and that he would have broken it up sooner, and that he didn't have any qualms about that. So definitely, I mean, you're stuck with that, and I think that you have to acknowledge that window. But I don't think that, you know, at this point in time, you have a guy that, how old is Isaiah Thomas now? 27 years old.
So 27.
So after next year, and when his contract comes up, he'll be 28, I imagine, when the contract comes up. That's 28. You sign him for another 4 years or 5 years. I mean, you get him till you're 32 years old. That's something that Danny Ainge is really going to have to deal with, because if he doesn't do that, now is the time that he's going to have to start thinking about trading Isaiah Thomas. And that basically means throwing away this season. It really means kind of throwing away the Al Horford window, because Al Horford is not going to get any younger. And as you've already seen, I've heard you complain, and this is not a criticism of you, because I agree with many of the things that you said about Al Horford. We're throwing away the Al Horford window as well, because he's not getting any better. His play is inconsistent. He had a great game tonight, or a fairly good game tonight, but then he has other games like the Cavaliers game where last night where he dropped, you know, basically a goose egg almost. I think it was like 6 points and four rebounds. So it's really having to start over from scratch. And if you're going to, I guess that's the argument. If you're going to trade Isaiah Thomas, you got to do it now, and it's going to have to include more than just Isaiah Thomas, because you're not going to trade Isaiah Thomas and then just get, like you said, a $7 million player back. We got to, you know, throw in an Isaiah Thomas,
Amir,
plus maybe an Amir Johnson. Yes, sir. That was the name I was thinking. Maybe even a Tyler Zeller, and then bring in somebody that's of, you know, good enough caliber to then carry the team through to the next stage. It's going to make that Al Horford signing worthwhile, because if we're just trading and then getting pieces back, and I don't want any more of these trades where Danny Ainge gets back draft picks, you know what I mean, or these project players. He got lucky with Jay Crawford. He got Jay Crowder. He got lucky with Isaiah Thomas, really lucky with Isaiah Thomas, and I don't know what I can say so much about his draft picks. I don't think that, you know, Marcus Smart was that great.
Danny Ainge has been an average drafter.
Average at best, I would say. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say average. We need if he's going to make that trade, and you said it last night when I started talking about Moose and you poo-pooed my Moose talk, if he's going to make a trade, it has to be that transcendental player that's going to carry us over. And if he's going to trade Isaiah Thomas, it needs to be for that transcendental player, and it needs to happen relatively soon. And it's going to really make a lot of people in Boston upset. It's going to make people in Boston upset, because they're falling in love with this kid, with this guy, with this young man. And, you know, you get rid of a guy that just dropped 52 points, you know, and people are going to be upset about that. And if he doesn't do it right, if Ainge doesn't pull that Ainge magic like he did in 2007, they put that 2008 championship team together, and we go into the doldrums again. I mean, I heard one of your shows on another station, on EEI, where you had one of your callers saying that they weren't that big of a fan of Danny Ainge. In 14 years, he brought one championship. And I agree to an extent, but championships in the NBA aren't that easy to come by. You know what I mean? He did bring us one.
Yeah, it's very different.
But
and Nick, we appreciate, I don't know how you do it. You literally go 9 minutes without breathing, which means to me, you must be able, like, under, you must be the best swimmer. I don't know what, you've got an immense amount of talent. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think we need to dedicate an off-season series just to what you do outside of this show, because to me, your life is fascinating. But we need to get out of here in a minute. So we appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Tuesday night. But listen, before you go, Nick, the Celtics have a legit shot here to win five in a row at home. These wins at home have been, you know, few and far between. They've been hard to come by. But you've got Utah, a good young and up-and-coming team, but a winnable game. You've got Philadelphia coming into town next week. I mean, you've got now, because of the win tonight, a chance during this little home stretch of four straight games. It's Utah, it's the Sixers, and it's the Pelicans remaining on the schedule here, who the Celtics owe some, believe it or not, they owe a little bit of a payback to the Pelicans. What do you expect out of the Celtics in 30 seconds or less in the next 7 days?
Well, I expect them to make up some of that ground on their home court. I mean, that's what they need to do. They've been, you know, hovering around 500. They're now above 500 at home on the home court. I think they're 8-6 now at home, and I expect them to improve on that. They have winnable games. They have a full, healthy roster, and I expect them to make some separation and maybe gain some ground on the Toronto Raptors. Best case scenario, gain some ground on the Raptors. Worst case scenario, they should at least, you know, put some separation between them and the Hornets and the other teams that are beneath them in the Eastern Conference standings.
28.6 seconds. You're good, Nick. We appreciate you taking the time this evening to do what you do best. And I tell you what, we talked a lot about Isaiah Thomas versus a guy like Allen Iverson. You brought up some great points when it came to AI and the way that the league and David Stern in particular reacted to the cultural change that Allen Iverson tried to bring to the NBA back during his prime. I tell you what, David Stern would probably love the Jaylen Brown's shorts. I look at him and I say, this is a guy, David Stern, those shorts are right up David Stern's alley. They would fit Larry Bird's size. They would fit Kevin McHale's size. Those are some shorts that David Stern could be very proud of. Nick, we appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you on Tuesday night, Nick. And that's just about going to wrap it up for us. So Nick Gelso, before we get out of here, I'm going to assume that you're going to respond to me now. You got anything else to give this evening, or are you like me? We've talked out the game. The Celtics are doing what they're supposed to do by winning a winnable game at home, and we hope that they can continue that trend next week with three more winnable games at the Garden. And that's it. Nick is not there. Nick is not responding. I know that Nick Sesento said that Gelso went to bed, but then he responded vehemently and said, I'm awake, but he's not responding. It's really tragic on what happened to be just a fantastic game at the Garden, a game that was much closer than it should have been, a game where it looked like the Celtics were stuck running in the mud. They still have their defensive woes. They got massively out-rebounded tonight. A lot of the same problems that have hampered the Celtics for the first 2 months of the season continue to be a problem for the Celtics. There is no easy answer in sight. You just heard from Nick Sesento last night on the program. You know, he brings up a guy like Greg Monroe, and I don't disagree. Greg Monroe could help this team. There are other guys out there that could help this team as well. You wonder if Danny Ainge believes in the potential of this team enough to go out there and potentially acquire one of these guys, if only to help this year's team, this edition of the Celtics, because they are a better team than the Heat. But the Heat nearly came into the Garden tonight and knocked off a Celtics team that featured Isaiah Thomas having a record-breaking game. Your final score from the Garden this evening, Celtics 117, Miami 114. Of course, our post-game show will be available, as always, for on-demand listening. All you need to do, and this is real simple, people, head on over to the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes. Just search that. It's easy. Head to iTunes and search for CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show. It's available on iTunes and Stitcher. You want to find us on the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app, available for Android and for Apple devices. You want to follow CLNS Radio on social media. On Twitter, you can find us at CLNS Radio, and you want to like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/CLNSfans. You want to find us at ESPN New Hampshire. It's real easy to do. It's ESPNNHradio.com. You find ESPN New Hampshire on Twitter at ESPNNH. Today's show was brought to you by our fantastic sponsors, ZipRecruiter. You want to start using ZipRecruiter for free? You do it right now by heading on over to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Also by our friends at Blue Apron. You head on over to BlueApron.com/CLNS. It gets you three free meals and free shipping. Also our friends at Movement Watches, MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat. Gets you 15% off your first purchase with free shipping as well. And we cannot forget Audible.com. You head on over to audiblepodcast.com/try now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music was provided by Nick Sesento this evening and Joshua Morse. And I want to thank all of today's callers. And, of course, Alan from Titletown. He's got a special running. Head on over to TitletownApparel.com. You want to use promo. Ho-ho. Ho, ho, get you 15% off. for CLNS Radio executive producer Larry H. Russell. A new edition, by the way, of Celtics Beat coming out the day after tomorrow, this Sunday, with Larry H. Russell. Our program director, Justin Poulin. New edition, Celtics Stuff Live, coming out Monday. Justin Poulin and John Duke, they are the best of the originals. The founder of our network, Nick Gelso, who I hope is soundly sleeping right now. My co-host, also Nick Gelso. Hope that Nick Gelso is soundly sleeping as well. I'm Patrick Gilroy. We will see everybody back here Tuesday night as the Boston Celtics take action at home against the Utah Jazz. Our final score tonight from the Garden, Celtics 117, Heat 114. We'll see everybody here Tuesday night. Until then, bye-bye.